You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Father's Day is almost here. Yep, it's Sunday. Visit the Cleveland Browns team shop at First Energy Stadium this week for 10% off polo shirts for dad. Just mention dad at checkout. Just dad. And you get the discount. The team shop is open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. You can also shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Doug Deacon is joining us now from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Are you up for a Browns polo maybe for Father's Day, buddy?
No, I think my son's getting me a Joe Thomas jersey.
Oh, all right. Now that would be appropriate. Welcome to the show. And you were out at practice watching with the rest of us. And, you know, Jim had said earlier when we were making some, we want to start the conversation right here, comments about the O-line. And I brought up that I thought Mitchell Schwartz, through these workouts and especially what I saw of him today too, just he's making that case harder and harder to, say, move him out of the way, if in fact that's anyone's thought process. I like what I've seen from Mitchell Schwartz so far. What do you see?
Well, I think so, too. And I think, you know, if you go back to last year and he had a little bit of a foot problem that I didn't say a lot about, but he sucked it up and played. And, you know, he caught a couple fastballs early on, and Cameron Wake is one, and Doomerville was the other one. And those, you know, little short guys are tough to adjust to. And I think, you know, it's a learning experience. He's only in his second year. So, I think, you know, we'll hopefully see a big stride from him.
Can you imagine having a foot problem and then lining up with Cameron Wake over you? And that's what happened as that game went along. Yeah. I mean, that happened in the second half.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, I think, is the tackle, a lot of times guys will set you up. You know, they'll show you one move, and then when it comes to crunch time, you know, they'll show you their best move. And, you know, it happens to the best of them. I've seen it. I saw it happen to Joe with what's his name? Freeney from Indianapolis one year. He did it to Joe. So it can happen to anybody then.
We just heard from Mike Pettine talking with reporters, and he was referencing, you know, is the pace ramped up a little bit in this session, the mandatory minicamp. And, of course, these workouts, the biggest difference between them and what we've seen previously is they're going to be wide open to media the entirety tomorrow and Thursday as well, I guess, as today. Unless tomorrow's are indoors, maybe that could affect things. But in general, do you agree that the pace, he said, to use Mike Pettine's comment, the conversations are a little less pleasant in the huddle now, that there seems to be maybe more of an edge to things. Do you notice that out there today?
A little bit. You know, I think, you know, the other thing that he mentioned, I thought that was probably the most noticeable, was the fact that Brian Hoyer got the ball out a lot quicker. And,
yes.
You know, I think that's just, you know, the veteran ability of Brian Hoyer, where you know the offense, you have a better understanding, and you know where, you know, the ball needs to be delivered, and, you know, you're throwing when they're coming out of their break rather when they get open. And that's just something that, you know, young quarterbacks have to learn.
You know, it really is noticeable. It was noticeable when Brian played last year as opposed to the other guys. But it definitely was noticeable today. You're right. I mean, the ball is out. It's out quicker, and the play happens a lot quicker than with the other guys in there. DK, if you could visually, you know, on radio, kind of paint the picture here. We're talking about the new scheme of blocking that they're going to use, the new on the offensive line. How does it work? What should we look for?
Well, you're going to try to get the defense running with you. I mean, you hear them run through the block. In other words, keep on your feet and you know, occupy the body so that, you know, as you go down the line of scrimmage, you're trying to create holes where the running back can pick and choose, and he has the option to turn it up. You know, if it's a sweep play and, you know, all of a sudden there's something breaks inside and you got people running, you know, then they're not going to be able to tackle them if you got your body on them. You know, we've said it many times. It's the old Blanton Collier theory. And if you got your body on the guy, he's not going to tackle you with one hand. Of course, he was talking about Jim Brown, so that it was a little different.
A little different, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's that. No, and with regard to Mitchell Schwartz, what I've seen in him, and I'm sure what you've noticed in these other linemen, Doug, is that they've taken their weight down. I mean, it just seems like a little bit of a different-looking set of bodies. They're still big guys, but to have that mobility, you can't be carrying the same weight you carry.
Well, yeah, I think they want them to be a little more athletic. And, you know, sometimes when you get a little heavier, you get a little sluggish. So I think, you know, being a little more athletic via dropping a few pounds, that'll help. And the other thing, you know, I think you, if you go back to Houston and one of the teams that used to run the, this offense, you know, they do a lot of cutting, you know, trying to get people on the ground. And, you know, it's not a popular thing with the defensive linemen. You don't get Mother's Day cards from them, or yes, you do. But by the same token.
And they don't put those on paper, right?
You know, and you know, that's a whole different, you know, can of worms to open up because, you know, guys today, really a lot of them don't know how to cut because, you know, a lot of guys think you just throw at, you know, their feet and they're there. You got to throw to it. And with Johnny being, you know, not real tall, Brian not being real tall, I think you're going to find a need sometimes to chop people at the line of scrimmage to keep their hands down.
You know, none of our guys are tall. Thigpen's not tall.
No.
Connor Shaw's not tall. Let me ask you this, Deke. Why is it that offenses now are so difficult to get out in the huddle, the play? And I watched an NFL Films one time piece when John Gruden went to Tampa Bay, I think it was, and he brought the Raider offense with him, and they were having the darn – Chris Sims was having the darndest time just, you know, vocalizing the play in the huddle. Now, Coach Pettine alluded a little bit to this, that Manziel's having – you know, he's better at it today than he was last week. Why do they make it so complicated in the verbiage? And when you do hear it, it's a language that is foreign to all of us.
Oh, yeah. And, it you know, you can be from one system, you come to another system, you try to equate, okay, this play is what we used to run, but we called it this. And, you know, sometimes coaches, I think, you know, they overload the verbiage where I think, you know, for a player, you know, you want to understand what you're trying to do. And if you're getting late out of the huddle, then all of a sudden, you know, you're putting more pressure on the offense. So it is important.
So at Texas A&M, I think Manziel had a number situation, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Where they would, you know, yell out a number to him.
Right.
He had a wristband. He would look at that number. And he would,
Yeah.
I think some NFL teams still do that,
don't
they?
A lot of quarterbacks have the plays, you know, and it can shorten the call from the booth down to the quarterback.
Right.
By, you know, saying the number, but then he's got to spit it out so everybody understands what they're doing.
See, again, these are the things that Hoyer is ahead in.
Oh. Yeah, Brian Hoyer is not going to struggle with communicating, first of all, when you talk about sight adjustment routes and blocking and protection scheme and the running play that works into a play that could go run or pass, depending on all those changes. So the language of the offense and the depth of each play, what each signal or each word represents, including those that are just phony, that are put out there as bogus words, decoys, all of that is Brian Hoyer friendly, and almost all of it, I'm sure, is unfriendly to Johnny Manziel. And what I'm seeing on a regular basis, and today was another part of it, is Manziel has to really labor and struggle, I think, to just run things, let alone the mechanics of the position, Doug, and I see that still being inconsistent with him because he's got so many other things on his mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, but for him, you know, they're giving him the whole playbook, so it's like War and Peace. Now, when you get to, you know, the game time during a week, it's going to be more like the Cliff Notes. You're just going to shell it down, what fits to what they're doing defensively. So that helps a little bit. But, you know, there's coaches that have reps that their language is too there's too much verbiage in it, and it just kind of slows down the offense.
Yeah, no, it does. Doug Deacon is joining us from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, the other thing, defensively, some people, and we were going over this earlier in the show, people are really jumping out as young players. We know what we see from Carlos Dansby, from Dante Whitner. You expect that to be looking good. But Chris Kirksey, just the natural flow. How impressed are you with this kid who comes in there and shows that versatility, as Mike Pettine was mentioning earlier, that he can play in? They're using him outside quite a bit because athletically he can do both, inside or out.
Well, and I think a lot of it goes to where he played. He played at Iowa, right? And he played for Kirk Ferentz, who was in the pro game. And Kirk does a great job of taking, you know, players and developing them, because I don't think he gets the five-star recruits there. He gets the three stars and he turns them into four stars. And and I think that, you know, that's one of the things you always admire about the Iowa football program. You know, they play above their level of talent a lot of times. And the way you do it is, you know, understanding the game. And if you understand it, you can play faster.
You know, Doug, I really think that people are, in today's NFL, you think of everyone throws it. We throw it a lot. Yeah. And the Browns certainly threw it a lot last year, maybe because score dictated that. But this team, I think, really wants to commit to the run.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, one thing is you got a defensive head coach, and the defensive head coaches like to, you know, control the clock a little bit more and not let the game get away. You know, and, you know, hopefully, you know, the defense will shore itself up to the point that, you know, when you get to those last quarter, we're not giving games away.
Right.
And that was seemed to be one of the problems last year. So I think, you want to run the game because there's going to come a point in the game if you have a lead, you need to run the ball. So so if you don't have a running game, then you got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you go back to games last year that were running situations. And I'm going to bring up a good game, Baltimore here, when they beat Baltimore. But really on third and one, fourth and goal on the goal line, there was a critical third and one late in the game when they were trying to hold on to the ball. And they couldn't run it, and they had to throw it. That's the game that Bess actually had a pretty good game.
Last year's team, by definition, should have been a team that at the very least had, and this has been part and parcel, if you track Norv Turner's career of running offenses or head coach of a team, the four-minute offense. And this team didn't have any four-minute offense whatsoever. At the very least, you want that ability to run when you're supposed to run.
Right, like
you
said, right, exactly.
Instead, you're throwing because you don't have that. I think at the very least, and I think it's much more than that, this team has a four-minute offense, Doug.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, you go back to, you know, when they traded Trent, we didn't have a running game, but we were bringing people in, and they were never in sync. And, you know, a lot of times you either use the run to set up the pass or use the pass to set up the run. Well, obviously, we're using the pass to set up the run, but we didn't have
– use the pass to set up the pass.
We set up the pass, I think. I think we really had it all wrong.
Fortunately, it was in the era of Butch Davis where we're running reverses down on the goal line.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I remember the New England game. You're up 12, and if you can just get another first down by running the ball, but we would have to throw it, wouldn't complete it, stop the clock, punt it, and give the ball over to a guy that's the most dangerous guy on the planet in that kind of situation. So, I mean, but I think this team, I think you're going to be surprised how committed they're going to be to the run. And also, don't be surprised if they really throw a lot on first down.
Yeah.
I think he likes to throw on first down.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll see. It's going to be – he's had a pretty versatile and inconsistent – and I don't mean inconsistency, but inconsistent
in a bad way.
And is inconsistent in a good way that keep you guessing. He's,
right.
He's unpredictable is the complimentary word.
And he plays to his talent.
I mean,
he doesn't let the –
Kyle says,
this is what we got. This is what we can do. Let's go do it.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Doug. Thank you very much for your insights. He is Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the other half of that network team. And, of course, Jim Donovan is with us filling in for Nathan Zagura. And we've got much, much more for you. We're going to check around the National Football League in a little bit. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. I think the head coach of the Browns, Mike Patton, in the neighborhood, which he should be. The studio's right in the building here. So hopefully we can get him to pop by as well. And that is ahead on CBD.